Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this February the 21st on the West Coast, now February the 22nd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to all those listening in on Wind Talkers radio network around the world, and we appreciate you helping us spread the word around. Of course, we're speaking about the word of the truth, and we're going to be doing that with tonight's guest. Well, we've here on the East Coast, we've got Deuces Wild now. We've got a 2/22/2011. The 11 adds up to a 2. Kind of an interesting day. Interesting and for some tragic. I don't have many reports right now other than... we got information that New Zealand was affected by an earthquake, and reports are either 6.3 or 6.4 on the Richter scale. This is Christchurch, New Zealand, I believe is the epicenter. Certainly, we want to pray for those folks, pray for the whole world for that matter. Things are getting really out of hand right now, and those that like it are probably sitting back smiling, and I'm going to share some music with you. This is an old one from Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Smiling Phases.
Thank you.
Smiling Phases, Blood, Sweat, and Tears. That should bring back some memories. That was one of my favorite groups growing up, and I had actually the opportunity to play in the same stage with them a few years ago. And actually, I was playing with Little Anthony and the Imperials at the time. And it turned out to be a battle of the bands. It brings back a lot of memories. Smiling Phases. Smiling Phases. What does that mean? Well, we seem to be going through a lot of smiling phases these days. Certainly those that are profiting from all the misery around the world are smiling. And we're going to talk about that and hopefully a few other things with tonight's guest. He hosts his own show on the Micro Effect Network, The Story Behind the Story. And he hosts his own website, atruot.com. Why is it called that? Because his name is Dr. Atruot. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Hello, Don. Welcome yourself. Glad to be here.
Hope you had a great weekend. I know you had a busy day today with your show. And
I did indeed. I'm on the road. I actually just got back home after fighting snowstorms and blizzards and wrecks and accidents and all that kind of fun stuff with the freeway going down to, snail pace.
Yeah, we had a thaw yesterday and we have a blizzard today. So it's really crazy. Crazy weather. But nothing like what's going on in New Zealand. What have you heard in that regard?
Well, there's a cluster. If you go to the USGS website, I did send you a link to that. Just as we're speaking, there's clusters of 5.5 and higher coming in. They're just graphing the ones 5.5 and higher. There's something very wrong going on there now. Fiji, the island, there's some tsunami warnings coming out now. The South Pacific, there's significant movement along the monitoring plates.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the 6.4, there was a 6.3 and a 6.4 and a couple of mid-range fives just on the south of New Zealand and up to Christchurch, New Zealand. The reports are just breaking out right now as there are multiple casualties, human deaths and many injuries in Christchurch, New Zealand. So,
yeah, I see Indonesia, New Guinea, Philippines. That whole region, Japan.
Right, yeah.
Ryukyu Islands.
The so-called Ring of Fire is very active tonight. No doubt about that.
I wonder if that's shaking up the underwater base that we found off the coast of the Philippines last week. there's an underwater base at the bottom of the ocean.
Yes, and yeah, the pictures and that that was forwarded to us. This is not made up, ladies and gentlemen. I'm constantly having to answer people. I was very reluctant to put those posts from Jeremiah on my blog, not because of the controversy, Don, but just because. People just, I don't know, they're not open to anything right now for some reason. And I posted them just to support for you, largely because of all the crap that you were receiving from people that should know better.
I don't worry about that. That comes with the territory.
Well, it's when people say that it's fraudulent, and then of course they're saying to me such things as your credibility is lost. I says, look, and saying this is all a fraud. I said the definition of fraud is where money is involved, and there's somebody's out trying to solicit money under false pretenses. That's a definition of fraud.
Mm-hmm. I didn't make the videos. I didn't record videos.
Of course not. they are what they are, and the point I just want to make out to the people that are. Or skeptical and naysaying and everything else about this. This is like I said a couple weeks ago on the show, Don. Look, I want to say on the record categorically that I have, with the story behind the story when it broadcast live out of southern Utah in Cedar City, we had a lot of contact with individuals that worked at the so-called Area 51. If you go down south of Cedar City, Utah, down I-15, you come just before you get to Las Vegas, you can cut clear across to the area that's cordoned off, Area 51. You go west of Cedar City, the West Desert. You'll hit a little podunk town called Rachel, Nevada. And if you are really brave, you can go up on the hills. The hills have eyes. And you can see some incredible things. I have witnessed them for the last 20, 25 years. And it's not just, you know, this is not the people wearing tinfoil hats, ladies and gentlemen. These are credible investigative journalists, of which I claim to be one. We have George Knapp and others in Las Vegas Sun newspapers. We had people coming forth with the most incredible photographs and pictures. Ladies and gentlemen, the skunk works of this government, the skunk works of these black ops shadowy people will always be ready and willing quickly to put out any type of misinformation and misdirection on the subject that they can possibly do. And if you don't understand that by now, you might also believe everything you read in the mainstream media, believe everything that the Washington Times and Post and Los Angeles Times and New York Times tells you. Just believe everything, ladies and gentlemen. Just suck it right up. There is no such thing as unidentified flying objects. There is no such thing as extraterrestrial contact. Ladies and gentlemen, please. If you believe that, you really believe that, there's no sense even listening to the show. But I was going to say, Don, that I had in-depth conversations with individuals that I sent information out from interviews I had with Mr. Bill Cooper, who authored the book Behold a Pale Horse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cooper has been, you know, by the likes of Alex Jones and the rest of them, they're condescendingly calling him a drunk, a stooge, a nobody, a nothing. I'm telling you, he was as honest as they come, as honest as straightforward as you can come, coming out from the umbrella, the shadow of Navy intelligence, as he has done. Now, whenever I hear a story, whenever I hear Bill Cooper's works and his talks to me and his papers, I don't believe everything I hear right off. I double check, triple check, quadruple check, okay? Now, when you hear other people coming forward from such places as Area 51, from Nellis Air Force Base, from Edwards Air Force Base, and off the record, without putting themselves on the, with their name on the line so they don't lose their pensions or their back, and they all tell me that Bill Cooper was absolutely right on. We're talking, ladies and gentlemen, about the story that Bill Cooper told me personally on a radio show, that the government of Harry S. Truman, under Truman's watch and Eisenhower's watch and Khrushchev's watch in the Soviet Union, that the Galactic Federation of United Planets, now there wasn't specifics of their names and everything else,
mm-hmm.
they did in fact talk to these individuals, these heads of state, to stop the nuclear proliferation. And I don't give a rip what people say. That happened. It makes sense to me.
Yes.
Whenever you hear it, Don, whenever you hear it from five or six different sources, you gotta say there's something there.
Sure. Well, you know, the MO is to attack the messenger because the message is true. So they have to go after the messenger. And, you know, it's not the first time. Oh, is all my research wrong because I discovered their documents or their lies? That doesn't nullify the service. It shows that they lied.
And well, that
they're lying now.
And it just goes back to, well, he's trying to bring listeners into a show. It's a grandstanding situation, yada, 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 yada. You know, I know you well enough that that's never been your incentive to do it.
I wrote The Three Stooges Go to Washington, Parts A through 7B, published, okay? Part 8 is underway, soon to be published. And that's on the third stooge, by the way, Hillary Clinton. And, a couple of months ago, Wayne Madsen comes out with an article, which is basically a compendium of my research and distortions thrown in there to make it sound like I copied his work, which is insane, because I didn't have to go to the CIA to get the documents that I uncovered or to analyze his photographs. I compared things that were reported as historical events that had no corroboration in any official government capacity. Military records, for example. Who in their right mind would go enlist at three different locations? Yet that's what Stanley Armour Dunham allegedly did. Well, is it any surprise that I found his name on a ship's passenger list of spies? Is that a a big surprise? Not only his, but Madeline Dunham, the alleged grandmother, and Stanley Ann Dunham, the alleged mother of the President of the United States. And in fact, their name was Meduna. Their spy names were Meduna. And it was very simple to come up with that once I understood what the code was on a pornographic picture of the mother that had been published.
Yeah, we both hit that at the exact same time.
Yeah. Okay. So why the big hoopla when Wayne Madsen comes out? And he even lifted one of the photos off of my website. It's a photo that I intentionally edited so you could see how they were hiding shadows in the photo, that this was a compilation. The shadows were not moving in the proper direction, which is it's a familiar attribute to the Obama pictures. None of the pictures are real. Possibly one where they take a picture of him standing by himself, within the last few years. But the rest of the photos are all compilations. They're phony. Now, it's just a matter that it's accurate research. Now, in the case of spaceships, lots of people, millions of people have seen all kinds of spaceships. And by the way, this wasn't a UFO over Jerusalem. It was an IFO. It was identified. Mm-hmm. Okay? So we're not even talking about UFOs. And we had four distinct videos taken from different vantage points. And I didn't take those. I wasn't in Jerusalem. I wasn't standing anywhere near the Dome of the Rock. When I saw the craft, I recognized it. Checking up on it, I confirmed it and got some information as to what was going on. I think the world has a right to know what's going on, especially when it comes to nuclear weapons. The world has a right to know the kinds of things that these demons that run governments around the world are doing. So it's simple. I care not what stories they want to make up. And it's always the same people on top of it. They come out like cockroaches.
And there's, like I said, there's no sense behind it. We're talking about, again, you can't be labeling fraud in this type of thing after, because nobody is asking for money. I mean, if I come out and say I had a dream where I was taken to Pluto and I walked on Pluto, and look at me, I'm in contact with in Pluto with some Palladians that channeled to me. Send me a bunch of money because I want to get on Oprah. Then I can pretty much safely say that I'm propagating a fraud. But if I just come up and say, hey, you know, I might have been dreaming, but a ship appeared in my backyard and asked me to come on board and took me around on a trip, and I learned some great things. That's not fraud at all. You know, it may be subjective. I might have been under some hypnosis, but subjectively speaking, to me, it's absolutely truth.
No, fraud is crash dummies, weather balloons, and swamp gas. That's the fraud, like Roswell, for instance.
So there's always going to be the government stooges and disinformation people. And frankly, I don't see why they're upset about it. The people that have, you know, hammered me, and I've had people quit my blog because I posted that garbage, and they did their research, which drew them to Don Nikoloff's site, and the pictures that are posted there are so fraudulent. They do a little cursory link here and there, and they see a derogative story. They won't listen to reason. And I says, well, you know, don't let the door hit you on the way out. You know, what it is what it is. And, you know, there's all kinds of controversy swirling in the halls of the Khazarians there in Israel, that this is all staged. This is all a hoax. This is all yada yada. And they're saying so much of this. They protest too loudly, frankly.
Yeah.
They don't ever look that there's actually four different video cameras and four different angles with four different groups of people explaining in four different words and sentences about what they witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Well, again, I didn't create the event. I didn't film the event, but I saw it and I brought out the information, and it is what it is. And, if you want to talk about fraud, look at what they're doing in Washington, D.C. and New York. Look at the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury and Goldman Sachs. There's your fraud. Of course, I don't mean to leave any names out, but that's the fraud.
Well, the other story that I just posted on my blog, it's atruot.com. I posted this European Union, the EU Times story, and ladies and gentlemen, I know what EU Times is about, but you know what? When all of the components of this story hits with what my experience has been, when they talk about Project Northwoods, when you understand what the CIA really is all about, it all rang true. And so that's why I posted. I was confident that the truth would eventually be told, and sure enough. Monday this morning at 10:35 a.m., the Washington Post, Greg Miller, had the official scoop on this. Officials finally have come forward and identified that Raymond Davis, this shooter in Pakistan, is indeed CIA. Now, after all the lies, 2 weeks of this and that, and still it's not in the mainstream media. This is, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very, very serious story.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very, very serious story as involves war, you know, war manipulations. You don't know how close that Pakistan and India, and thus the whole eastern region there of the Near East, has, you know, could come into an absolute nuclear exchange over this stuff. It's serious business. I said before, Don, and I say it again, it's almost like an equivalent of a Cuban Missile Crisis. And we've got the information is all right there.
Yeah. And they have to spread rumors about Gaddafi now. You see how they're trying to spread this out. They're trying to inflame the whole Middle East, hoping that they'll just start fighting themselves. It's going to be a question of who was bribed the most money to start it.
Well, just these diplomats. This is a 36-year-old gentleman. This QDDR meeting, as it was called, the quintennial or quadrennial review that Hillary had with the ambassadors. Not all the ambassadors were there, but key people from the different embassies were called back. And indeed, they did have this meeting. But you got to read between the lines what is being said there. You've got to look at it in the code that it's intended. These people, the meeting that was held on the 2nd of February was basically outlining what these so-called global mission chiefs would be asked to accomplish worldwide. And if you just read the plan of the international order that they're planning to establish, my goodness, it puts a whole new light on this Davis situation.
Yeah, they're getting desperate. They're getting very desperate.
I said it before, how does a 36-year-old person with diplomatic immunity carry a Glock pistol with his clips and you know, Don, just the training necessary to fatally kill two people on motorcycles that are pursuing you, it's straight out of the Jason Bourne movie saga
or James Bond.
See, this guy is trained to kill, and the reasons why he was being tailed and pursued, why they were intercepting his cellular phone communications. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a serious, serious business.
Yeah, well, you know, all of this boils down to the truth, doesn't it? They don't want the truth to be known. Now, there are plenty of people in other parts of the world that are seeing what's going on. What we hear is totally different from what they're hearing, let's say, in Europe, for example. We hear this all the time. We're getting news. We're getting some news through the internet, but I can guarantee you a lot of it's filtered. A lot of it's even on the internet's being filtered. And, you know, you've really got to be industrious in finding the right sources of the truth that are coming from over there. And it helps when you know someone. And that's what we depend on, is the truth coming across the water or up to the satellites and back down. you know, this is all about the truth. Now, there's a lot of truth coming out. That's their dilemma. People are starting to wake up. There's a lot of truth coming out. Is it going to be everyone waking up? Heck no. You still got people eating hot dogs, you know, and chips and all kinds of soda pop. And they're getting their sugar fix and their carbohydrates, and they're happy to sit in front of the TV, and they're going to pretend like none of this is going on. But it's going to take numbers. It's going to take a coordinated effort of those that are awake to demand that this insanity stop. Just because they want to create a war doesn't mean we have to have one or that we have to allow one.
The scary thing, Don, is these Sabbateans, the best way to call them is what they are. They're not really Zionist per se. That's just a name, but it goes back to the followers of Sabbatai Zvi, the rabbi in the 1600s, the cult that came out of his satanic teachings of perversion and ritual. Ladies and gentlemen, the Sabbatean cult simply wants chaos. They simply want death and destruction across this globe. And that's the reality. And doggone it, Don, if our only hope is a Galactic Federation to come and help us maintain, you know, the ability to live at least semi-free, I'm all for that. We need all the help we can get. And I'm not saying we put all of our hope and faith in that, but I think it's time, Don. It really is time to organize into groups and militias, whatever you want to call them. That's our constitutional right under the Second Amendment. I get this all the time from people. Well, we got to keep our guns intact. We have the right under the Second Amendment to keep and bear arms. They haven't read the amendment, Don. They haven't read it at all, because in order to maintain a well-regulated militia, the right to keep and bear arms will not be infringed. The central subject, the central theme of the Second Amendment is not the guns are a corollary to the well-regulated militia. Militia has become a hiss and a byword. But you know what? If you really understand the founding fathers, the whole law, the whole basis of the Constitution, we have it as our right. No, our duty. If we love freedom, we have a duty to learn and organize ourselves as militia. And we're not talking about joining the National Guard. No, 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 no. We're talking about neighborhood, state, county, local militias, ladies and gentlemen. And I said this today, Don. You know, the most formidable fighting force on the planet is not the Chinese army. The most formidable fighting force is the American civilians who dress up in camouflage and go out and take to the hills and go hunting each fall. These men and women know how to use a gun, and they know how to use a butcher knife. And, you know, they need to organize into hunting packs of well-regulated, legal militia. We've got to quit buying into the garbage put out on the mainstream media that militias are wrong and evil and full of right-wing fanatics. We just need to send a message that we are the law. We really are.
Oh, they're hitting us from all sides. I heard an ad yesterday where they were saying adults should get their whooping cough vaccination so they don't infect their kids. I mean, they say anything to make a buck. And the same issue of vaccinations, I wouldn't trust anything that they make. Anything.
Never.
And, you know, the medicines, statin drugs and all kinds of antidepressants that they were giving patients, heart patients 10 years ago and people who were getting organ transplants or removal of certain, say, cancer-ridden organs, and hanging by a thread or going through kidney dialysis as a means of survival, they're promoting the very things that are causing these problems. These lawyers are coming out now, you know, have you taken Paxil and were you pregnant? And because you can file for damages. They're finding that these drugs have caused birth defects and problems with the people that were taking them for the very reasons. And when you listen to the side effects, it's no longer even a joke. There are 20 or 30 side effects to these things, including death. You know, who in their right mind would take something like that? Who in their right mind would even sell that to somebody, knowing that it's got the capacity to maim or kill? It's that's their nature. That's what they do, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have a short clip I'd like to play and read between the lines in this. This is from C-SPAN via The Onion News. And this is Representative John Haller from Pennsylvania.
Congress shall now vote for approval of H.R. 8791, the Homeland Terrorism Preparedness Bill. Said bill requests emergency response funding up to and including, this section is classified, dollars to prepare for a national level terrorist attack and or attack from classified. Funding for first responder personnel and vehicles would be doubled if said attack leads to more than 80% of national population being affected by classified. This funding shall commence in conjunction with the first attack on classified or the first large-scale outbreak of classified, dependent upon which comes first. Civilian and military units shall be trained in containment and combat of classified, including irradiated classified, with possibility of classified airborne, classified flesh-eating, classified, and or all of the above, in such event as classified spewing, classified escape, are released or otherwise become uncontrollable. Air Force units may also be directed to combat said classified due to their enormous size and otherworldly strengths. Should event occur in urban areas, that's classified, far surpassing our darkest nightmares. Should casualties exceed classified body disposal actions, shall be halted and associated resources shall be reallocated to classified underground, classified protected birthing centers. A new Bill of Rights shall be drafted and approved by classified. Having now reviewed the bill, I ask you to please cast your vote.
Now, I was going to ask you while I was listening, what do you think he's talking about?
It's classified.
It's classified, exactly. That was my thought. What was funniest about this video is its title. It was on YouTube under the title Anunnaki Reptilians Classified.
Well, you know, it's... Again, we can talk about this so much. It's what I wrote in this piece on the QDDR that's on my blog, the website. The very fact that this, you know, these WikiLeaks cables has created such a furor. One of the items on top on the agenda of this ambassadors, or they don't really call them ambassadors anymore. Hillary wants to call them global mission chiefs. Global chiefs of mission? What
is the mission?
Exactly. Global mission? What is that? It's ludicrous, Don. You go 100 years ago. You go back, in the turn of the century, 1900, 1905. You know, the embassies that were occupied by Americans were there for business interests. They had no compunction whatsoever for sending telegraphs, wires, whatever means they could. There was no such thing as having them under the table and covert. Because, you see, the whole purpose of embassies is to promote American business interests. When you start having to have encryption to the point where these leaks start to show the manipulation of economies in a dastardly fashion, when you start having to, you know, cover moral and legal crimes, Don, then, you know, we're so far away from the principles America was founded upon. You know, these things that have come out with Julian Assange and WikiLeaks now showing that, again, that the London Telegraph is reporting them, that the furor, the uprising, the riots and revolt in Egypt clearly was fomented and planned back in the Bush administration. It's just, you know, it takes 5 or 6 years to culminate. And Don, everybody that in America needs to start thinking on their own. They got to just quit spying off on these talking heads on the nightly news and think for themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, when you see just 3 weeks after the events of 9/11 and you see M1 Abrams sophisticated army tanks rolling into the streets of Kabul, Afghanistan, and you see Northern Alliance tribal leaders on these tanks, doesn't that strike you as funny how this happens just 3 weeks after the event of 9/11? Do you know how long it takes to even get a meeting with these Northern Alliance tribal chieftains? Let alone, you know,
9/11, they showed a big explosion over Kabul the night of 9/11. They had that planned.
Indeed. You know, this is all in the works, planned well before the events. It's just, again, something. The 9/11 was another Pearl Harbor for the same reasons, to galvanize patriotism, to inflame the anger against certain individuals that happen to have Islamic names. Okay? That's all it was, ladies and gentlemen. And so today it continues. Everything that we're seeing, the Patriot Act being extended, the Janet Napolitano coming out and telling Congress and that the terror threat is as high or if not higher than it was in September 11th. And, of course, you have the Davis story, you know, falling out just at the same time. Well, if we're in a high risk of terror attacks in the mainland of America, ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you, it's because the CIA is on steroids.
Well, she didn't make that declaration while they had 23 nukes spread around the country.
No.
She waited until after the dirty work was done. You see, but they have to try to do that to preempt the news that we're bringing out. And we're just bringing out the truth. It's known. It's as simple as that. Now, what do you suppose the congressman meant when he said flesh-eating, classified, otherworldly classified?
Classified. Well, he's probably talking about flesh-eating...
reptilians, you think?
Or bacteria, or
both.
Maggots. There's no difference. Did you see that? I got to post this on my blog. Our friend in California, Eve, sent it on to me. It's this clip of one of the congressmen. I'm assuming I don't know the congressman. Or senators by sight, but he was sitting there and as a camera panned on him, my golly, he shapeshifted. At least his eyes went absolutely spooky. It's like that movie, The Devil's Advocate, mm-hmm. with Keanu Reeves, and the Reeves's poor wife is sitting there shopping with those lizards and they shapeshift while they're putting their blouse on. You know, it's that type of drastic change in the eye. This is on national TV.
Oh, it's funny you should mention that, because I spent a good hour and a half this evening looking at shape-shifting videos, and then I looked at a bunch of ice crystals flying through space. Actually, they weren't ice crystals. The ridiculous explanations they give us, that you can tell they get tongue-tied when several hundred ships are flying around a tether, you know, changing direction and obviously pretty far away from the space station, and they're at a loss for words, so they're not even saying ice crystals right away, and then they're trying to identify the International Space Station which is sort of drifting in the lower left-hand corner of the picture, and there's hundreds of ships flying around in circles and zigzagging back and forth. You know, it's a comedy of errors, and yet they lie about it. They lie about it. It's their own video. Now you have to ask yourself, who leaks that out? Some of that, of course.
No, Don. Come on, don't go there. you know those are just lints in pieces the camera of lens. Pieces of fuzz. they're little fuzz balls.
Yeah, the cameraman was wearing a mohair sweater and it gave up a little bit. Oh man.
Well, you know, seriously though, Don, I've been reading a lot this last weekend. I've gone through two novels of Bram Stoker and have done tremendous amount of background history on Stoker and who he was and what he was attempting to do with these novels. The one was, of course, the classic Dracula, but the other one is the Star. It's a story of mummy that was unearthed there in Egypt, and it's absolutely based on fact. What was found, what happened, very very bizarre, otherworldly, shall we say, alien encounters with these artifacts. It has to do again with black magic, witchcraft, no doubt about it. The ancient Egyptians had this ability. You look at the stories of Moses in the Bible, things he did with Pharaoh, to, you know, the staff turning into a serpent, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, these were not act or magicians' tricks. They're very much the Egyptians had very much science and knowledge going into affect nature. Okay,
mm-hmm.
In this Bram Stoker history, the Egyptologists involved in this excavation, Don, they had uncovered information concerning watchtowers. Interdimensional type of stargates, if you want to call them that. That's the best way I can describe them. And it seemed to me in reading this, there is a protection right now in this dimension of reality that we live in right now that keeps these entities from overrunning us. Mathematician John Dee and Edward Kelly, the Enochian magic keys, they understood all of this. This was shown to them by black magic revelation, that these watchtower energy cycles, if they could be destroyed and brought down, that these demonic reptilian entities would come back to rule and reign on the earth. That's, I think, what the agenda is here, frankly. I really think these agents, these people in power right now that are so into the occultic black magic operation, that's their goal. They want their gods of Eden, so to speak, to come back in full force and power. And they're going to hide behind such things as, oh, that's a polar shift. Oh, all of these things that are happening on the Earth's surface is because of natural occurrences that our wonderful elders in the Mayan culture knew about for so long. All of this New Age garbage, when all the time behind the scenes they are using technologies that are absolutely forbidden by nature to do.
Oh yeah, and I've reported this. We've talked about this in past shows, the number of reptilian craft that are coming to this planet and are seen around this planet. This is this is portending that there may be a mothership coming. Are they going to try to say the mothership is Planet X or something like that? That's if they even get it here. They do have them, but you're right. This planet has been under attack for thousands of years. It's been slow, basically at a snail's pace, and with the aid of the world governments, they've been developing technology and creating hybrid beings, doing every dastardly DNA experiment you could even conceive of, and things that you couldn't conceive of, all in a quest to counter the creation, to do the opposite of what the creation represents. And I don't think it's going to be allowed. That's why they're so scared. That's why they're nervous. That's why they operate out of secrecy and using fear, and they try to put the fear on us. Now, granted, they succeed a lot of times, but waking up to what they're doing is half the battle right there. Recognizing it, it's a bluff.
Yeah, you know, and there are scientists and others who will tell you that the Earth has experienced what they call pole shifts, where basically the equator has moved, the actual North Pole has moved again down, and they show this based on geological evidence by measuring ice in the polar regions, etc., etc., etc. I am not denying that the polar shifts happened. I am just saying that it didn't happen naturally. Okay, that's what I disagree with. I think you could go back and look at specific times when technology reached a point where certain sick individuals began to think they were more powerful than God, and they started to manipulate the Earth to the point where it just created chaos. I don't believe for a minute that the Creator God the Father, or Jesus Christ, or whoever is watching, okay, who's ever in charge, would ever allow their creation to be manipulated, or they would do it by themselves to cause all this death and destruction. That comes by means of man messing with the cycling as created, you know, for us here on this planet to enjoy.
And there are neighbors who are our brothers and sisters, and children of God are concerned about the impact that what we do here has on their planets.
Yeah, we just need to have a conference, you and me and Mike Castle and whoever else, and we want to have a council with these individuals, these elders, Don, and just see if we can persuade them just to go and just greaseball these guys.
I don't know if the airwaves would hold the frequency.
Well, I mean, they need, you know, it's like that the Superman movie. You know, what is number that's Superman 2, where those three arch enemies of Krypton, you know, came floating in the dimensional plane, and a nuclear warhead the Superman had sent out to the upper atmosphere caused their prison plane to shatter and come back.
The ones dressed like 60s go-go dancers, right?
Yeah. But see, they, you know, when all was said and done, they were just basically locked into place and sent into oblivion again. That's what I say. That'd be too good for these guys. I mean, just put them into an oblivion plane. I'm for that. I'd love to see that happen at this point. George Soros and Evelyn Rothschild and the rest of you, come on, let's have a intergalactic trial for these arch criminals.
Put them in a block, a plastic block, and make it like a Rubik's cube on the inside that you can't solve.
Man, it really is. it's tragic that, so many people just have to suffer because of the actions of a few. It really is.
You know, what strikes me, too, is that everything that has been called mythology has come forth. And when you study the names and study how the names have been used with the monetary system and with the archaeological history that we've been presented, do you think that these stories were capable of creating these giants that they're finding in these archaeological digs, like in Greece?
Well, speaking of that, I don't know if I sent you a copy of what I sent out to Chumash last Friday. I came across this in some of my
Are you still there, True? I'm not hearing you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. You said, I came across this.
And
you went dead.
It's a newspaper clipping, Don, that I like to just read it to you. I sent it out to Barry Chalmers, and he just sent back a little one sentence. Well, if it's not a hoax, where's the bodies? So if it wasn't a hoax, where are the bodies, Barry? Oh my goodness, really? let's see. I can't even pull it up now. My computer's gone on the squack. So anyway, I have to forego that, I guess. But let's see. Let's try this one. Let me go over here to my files. Okay, hold on a minute. Because I need to. This is a 1932 newspaper clipping. I'm not even. It was a Nevada newspaper, but Dateline Los Angeles, August 4th. 1932, a retired Ohio doctor has discovered relics of an ancient civilization whose men were 8 or 9 feet tall in the Colorado Desert near the Arizona-Nevada-California line, an associate said today. Howard Hill of Los Angeles, speaking before the Transportation Club, disclosed that several well-preserved mummies were taken yesterday from caverns in an area roughly 180 miles square, extending through much of southern Nevada from Death Valley, California, across the Colorado River into Arizona. Hill said the discoverer is Dr. B. Russell, retired Cincinnati physician who stumbled on the first of several tunnels in 1931. After coming west and deciding to try mining for his health, so he became, he just found some what he thought were old mining tunnels, and he came out and found that they were much more than that. And so the story just goes on that they said these giants are clothed in garments consisting of a medium-length jacket and trousers extending slightly below the knees.
Sounds so, like yeah. Michael Jackson there.
Yeah. The texture of the material is said to resemble gray-dyed sheepskin, but obviously it was taken from an animal unknown today. And this was interesting. Markings found. Discovered. Hill said that in another cavern was found the ritual. It's all blurred now. The ritual hall of the ancient people, together with devices and markings similar to those now used by the Masonic Order in a long tunnel, were well preserved. Remains of animals, including elephants and tigers, et cetera, et cetera.
There must be some orgone power source near there that those things would be preserved.
Or something, you know, again,
maybe, you know.
In southern Utah, as you come actually on I-15 corridor, as you come down between Cedar City and the town of St. George, you'll see on the map a little place called Silver Reef. It's to the west of the freeway there. And if you really want to start digging in some history, that's an incredible story. A Silver Reef is so named because these are sandstone cliffs, red sandstone. And there was a tunnel found in, this has been the early 1800s, 1850s and 60s, just after the Mormons first came to Utah. There was this tunnel uncovered, and inside there was this petrified forest. This, whatever sand had come in, whether it, you know, by flood or whatever, it covered this incredible jungle of vegetation, Don. There were huge trees, you know, huge, tall, almost like sequoia trees, heavy ferns, jungle. It was like subtropical vegetation. All of it petrified, all of it very, very high in silver content. So imagine, if you will, going into this massive cavern with these petrified, virtually intact, trees and ferns and vegetables and even some animals, the story went, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what did they do? They just came and basically destroyed it all for the silver content, just mined it out as a silver mine. But see, that's the type of thing we're talking about here. You have all kinds of evidence, historical evidence, that's somehow just not talked about in the mainstream.
Yeah, I agree. Well, so he's found these mummies now, eight feet tall, 7 to 8 feet tall. You said
8 to 9 feet tall.
8 to 9 feet. Now the ones they found over in Greece, they say, are at least 30 feet tall. The head of one of these, the skull, in other words, is almost the size of the man that's crouched next to the.
Yeah, the reports out of Greece and Turkey, actually, they uncovered there. They're actually not 30. The reports are like 17, 18 feet tall. The femur bones are about 6 or 7 foot tall, which is massive. I mean, there's, you know, no doubt about it. And the other excavations I've seen in, you know, in southern Utah, Don, I know very well from personal experience about these. I mean, I saw them as a young boy. My cousins and myself, my uncle, were out herding cattle along this dry wash bed, and here was this big old bone poking out of the dry wash. There was a flash flood had come through a month or so before and hollowed it out, and we thought we'd found a new dinosaur bone. It was just poking right out. It turned out to be a human thigh bone of a giant, and they dug it out, found the skull. The skull was just like you see in these pictures of the Greece. It was huge, absolutely huge. But the fingers and the toes, they had six digits.
Yeah, I would say just by the description, the height is probably reptilian. And then
The bones, you know, looked like Homo sapien, just extra large, you know. But the skull, the mandibles and the jaw, you look closely, there's two rows of teeth. There's the insides, and then there's some more tearing teeth on the inside. So the Indians, both the Ute elders, the Paiute Indians, they'll tell you, if you get in their confidence, they'll tell you some of the legends of of these giants that roamed the hills at the same time as the Paiutes, and they were cannibals. They would come and they were eventually, wiped out. They conquered and divided and conquered them. But yeah, these stories aren't make believe. There's a huge petroglyph panel at a place called McConkie Ranch over by Vernal, Utah, that I've taken many pictures of. It's a massively well done petroglyph panel where you see normal sized individuals, Homo sapien humans, that are literally up to the knee bone of these massive giant people with six toes, six fingers, and just massively big.
It wouldn't even be fair to play basketball with them if they were sitting on the court.
Well,
no.
Yao Ming wouldn't, they could dunk over Yao Ming for sure.
My goodness. Just to visualize that is a lot.
Well, see, there's so much that's been hidden, and the story that this one skeletal remain that I know of personally. Of course, what do you do with this? You want to contact a university and get an archaeologist team that's legal to come in and hopefully make a discovery, get your name in the paper, and get your Cupid doll and your star by your name. Well, no, they came in, carted it off in a semi truck, and it was never seen or heard of again. Never a blip in the news.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's what I call forbidden archaeology.
Yeah. Well, and it probably ends up in somebody's DNA lab at some point, doesn't it?
Yeah, and so we have, Barry Chalmers and his work in the 90s over there in Israel, what he called the return of the Nephilim, the return of the biblical giants of Israel. Well, Israel is not the only place where these giants have been and very well may return again. The Nephilim are the fallen angels of God, basically. They're fallen ones. And like you said, Don, they've been messing with the DNA of the Homo sapien creation race since the beginning of time, actually.
Well, yeah, and I think those days are going to come to an end pretty soon. That's what I think, but,
fee-fi-fo-fum.
They'll start accusing me of making hoax statements when I say that, so I have to watch, I have to be careful.
There was the story of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. Yeah, some people say that's mythology, but really going back to the Saxon and the kings of England, the kingly lineage, there's a lot of ancient records of the Gaul, the Saxons, and the kings of that era, the Dark Ages. Make no mistake, there's many stories of these knights going out and battling these giants that were marauding the different towns and villages of France and England at that time period, and into Ireland and Scotland. There were lots of stories of these gigantic individuals that just loved to eat babies.
Well, and then you have the stories like the Loch Ness Monster as well. Though I haven't seen it, people have come forth with photographs. I don't know, I think even some video. But with what you can do to photographs and video these days, you'd have to see one firsthand, really.
And in the oral tradition of these Native Americans, they all have one thing in common. These giants come out of the earth. They're inner earth dwellers. they have a cave they'll come out of and come to the surface for a while as a group and wreak havoc with the locals, and then they'll just kind of go away again. But there, you know, it's all even in the traditions of Ireland and Scotland and France and England, the same thing is there. These giants would come from inner earth, from subterranean chambers. So,
well, yeah, I mean, they probably invented the underground bases, right? And then teaching them how to make them today, you know.
It's, yeah, but, indeed. And this whole National Geographic issue that I was that I just have right here, golly, it's February's issue of National Geographic, Under Paris. It's got the whole story of these catacombs and still to this day unexplored tombs under Paris and going into France, and the diagrams of these are not just little small little chambers for like mole men. These are big 12, 14 foot high tall ceilings. Yeah. Well, anyway.
that's been a tradition. They've been building cities under cities for centuries, if not millennia.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
Okay. Well, Drew, we're out of time. It was interesting. We hadn't really planned anything. I think the news sort of makes itself for us, doesn't it?
It truly does. There's so much that comes across my desk every single day, even when I'm not on my desk. It never fails to amaze me. And the news is getting more and more bizarre each and every day. Either that or I'm getting crazier. I don't know.
Yeah, I keep praying that people will acquire and use discernment and really pay attention to what's going on, because there's a lot of noise. But if you calm down and read between the lines and turn the other way when they talk, usually you are in the direction of the truth. and that's what we try to do tonight, as we always do. So I appreciate you being on the show and willing to discuss all these interesting topics tonight.
Good night, Don. Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And tonight's guest, Dr. A. Drew Ott. Be sure to visit his website, his blog, which is at atrueott.com. That's atrue.com. Oh, I left off the OTT, sorry, OTT.com, atrueott.com. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at BBS Radio tonight, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be historian and herbalist, Mr. Michael Anthony. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.